Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Kick off the show here.
We're agreeing!
So cleaned up.
All right, welcome to the Mafia Cast, everybody, live and recorded here on Buffalo Rumblings Network. You can find us on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, anywhere you find your podcasts. My Twitter, Papa Ron's Twitter, whatever. We're back with another week, and I'm really excited for this show. I don't know why going to the bye week, but I feel like we got a lot to talk about being a bye week. I'm your host, going by Mafia Cast Mike now on the app formerly known as Twitter. And my co-host Casey here, Skeeds24. You can find him also. So here we are again. Another week. Another heartbreaking loss. Man, it's been tough to be a Bills fan this year. So
this year, let me stop you there. It is not hard just this year. Well, my entire life has been hard being a Bills fan.
Yeah.
And this year, it seems like it has drought feelings just because of how the losses have come.
Right.
You know, like just as heartbreaking and agonizing as they've been. And for as good as this team is, or I guess should be, it's an extra hard year.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially, you know, after having several pretty good seasons, it's like just kicks you right back down. Back to where on here, whatever level we were at before. I don't even know. It just seems really inconsistent right now, and we're just barely hanging on. So
before we forget, just so everybody knows, Papa Ron is on a road trip back home. He was doing a training in Washington State, and he's currently driving. So, and I guess he's in this patch of road called the Pass, and it's terrible weather. So, unfortunately, he's not with us tonight. So, Roy, no, he's not the Bermudas. So, we'll see him again next week.
Yeah, we just told him drive safe. That's all that matters. Be safe. Yes. And, we can handle it for now. So, yeah, I don't know. We got some comments rolling in. Comments lines open. Richard Rush, Roy Collins, we appreciate you guys here watching every week. I think we got a couple new subscribers this week. So, yeah, again, we appreciate everyone wherever you're watching, listening. Good evening to you guys. So I guess let's get into this game. I mean, what the heck?
Dude, where do you want to start? I mean, do you want to start out like at 17 being up 17-7, or do you want to start at kneeing the ball with 20 seconds with a timeout and Josh Allen as your quarterback?
Yeah,
where do you want to start? Because I know this game has bothered you more than most
it has. I think I tweeted more this week than I ever have on Twitter, you know, ever before, like total before all this week. it's really got me triggered. If you're asking me where we want to start, I'm going to start right at the end of the game and work backwards for it or through it, because I mean, if we can keep on track and do that, but that was just the killer for me. The 20 seconds there at the end of the game. And it's not like and I know everyone's like, a lot of people are mad about the referee officiating and that kind of thing, but none of
which,
that
rightfully so. You know, if that is something that bothers you, you have a case, you have an argument.
Exactly.
I tend to, you know, chirp a little bit more about the refs than you do, because I mean, you just don't think about it or care about it as much, I guess. But
too easy going sometimes.
Yeah, well, I'm still not like, we lost because of the refs.
Right.
But there were a clear, blatant calls. Perfect example, the horse collar that got turned into a grounding call.
Yeah.
You know, that's a blatant exhibit A, but the refs this game sucked. It's still not why we lost the game.
Exactly. And I think that's the reason why I'm not hell-bent on giving these refs crap or anything like that. And I was going to say, you know, it's not even just because we lost, you know, that I'm thinking this way. When they came out in the formation to kneel the ball, I was like, what the heck are you doing? You take the ball out of Josh's hands and you walk him off the field and you pretty much give up at that point. You quit. And that's how I feel.
Personally. Well, I mean, we heard Tony Romo all night. You give Josh Allen two chances, you know, and then you run the ball once out of those, like out of the first three downs. Like you just said, McDermott didn't give him a chance. You know, at least let him throw the ball one time, once, you know, and if that doesn't work, you know, if the play just doesn't work out and it just felt sketchy, then you knee it, just let it go, you know, then end the game. But you have to give one shot. You know, otherwise, what's the point of having a quarterback like Josh Allen, like Patrick Mahomes? I understand in 13 seconds, Patrick Mahomes had two timeouts, but Josh Allen had an extra 7 seconds. So, I mean, not to say that the Eagles would have played defense the same way that we played defense, you know, that terribly in 13 seconds. But it's still something, you know, go do what the Broncos did. Go for the pass interference call. You know, anything. You had to give your team a chance. And I mean, McDermott saying he's trying to shorten the game. Mike, you were the first person to say he did the complete opposite. He extended the game. I mean, I understand we got the ball first. And then, so now the argument is, why didn't we just, on that third down when we ended up not getting it and then kicking the field goal on fourth down, why wouldn't you just have a check down to end up being, you know, 2-3 yards short and give yourself the opportunity to use all four downs and then make the Eagles go the length of the field?
Yeah.
To win it.
I don't know. I mean, all we need is a field goal. And at the end of the day, too, both Josh and Coach McDermott said in the presser that we just had to make a couple more plays. Well, 20 seconds. Yeah. You could run several plays, 20 seconds. I mean, if you do it right.
I saw a breakdown, and it was, you know, across or a roll. I can't remember who tweeted. I wish I could give him credit. But it was a rollout pass to the edge. You know, I think it was like 12 yards, something like that. You know, that saves timeout. We got 12 yards. We're now at the 37. You know, a crossing route, you know, that gets 20 yards, call your timeout, one more 5-yard flip out, and you're right there. And like the way they had it broken down was, you know, there would basically be 2 seconds left for the field goal attempt, which at that point, who cares if it's blocked? I mean, I understand if it's blocked, they had the opportunity to return it. That doesn't happen very often. You know, usually when it's a block, it's a tip block, like what happened earlier in the game.
Right.
You know, but if that happens, the game's over, but you still gave your team a chance.
Yeah.
That, like, I think that's what everybody was most, not everybody, but a lot of people were pretty infuriated with, was there was just no chance.
Right. And Roy just said, you know, he's thinking the Eagles would win, but the way we lost was infuriating.
I think most of us in Bills Mafia thought the same thing. I think we all kind of thought, you know, the Eagles are probably going to win this game. But then when we jump out 17-7, you know, we held Jalen Hurst, what was it, 38 yards in the first half passing, you know, with two great receivers, Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown. We were sitting living large right at that point. You know, we were like, all right, maybe we're back. You know, maybe this is it. And then the floodgates opened, and the Eagles scored every single time they got the ball in the second half.
It was hard to watch. And the other thing is, you know, if we try with the 20 seconds left and we still lose, You know, at least we tried. But then I'm probably on the ref bandwagon, slamming the officials.
Or it turns into, why didn't you just knee the ball to go into overtime? You know, either way, I mean, not necessarily from you or I, but, you know, it's going to be – people are hating on McDermott so hard right now that he basically can't make the right decision.
Right, right.
Whatever he chooses, if it doesn't work out, it's the wrong decision. He should have done the other.
Yeah. So, I don't know. We got more comments rolling in. McDermott has no faith in Josh. I know a lot of us are feeling that way.
It's rough, man.
It makes you wonder. I don't know. When the pressure's on, I mean, I couldn't imagine being in that situation. You know what I mean? Being a coach. Trigg's coming in with a comment. McDermott trusts his defense more than Allen. I mean, yeah, he's a defensive-based coach, and he is going to be more comfortable with that. I do understand that. But yeah, you were just saying they were unstoppable. That we didn't have an answer in the second half, and you see what happened.
Roy with a great comment. I mean, the Allen Davis miscommunication was a dagger. Let's just be very clear. That was on Josh. Yeah. That was not on Gabe. That was on Josh. I mean, Gabe had the defender beat. He could have went either way, but the defender was still on the inside, which is why Gabe went out. I mean, Josh just knows he can make that throw. Mm-hmm. So, and like he and Gabe, you know, connected on that throw multiple times.
Right.
It was just the one time.
He said he made a guess and he guessed wrong. Right.
Yeah. I mean, I got to be honest. My eyes got huge at the time of that game. My wife and your girlfriend, my sister, were sending videos back and forth of me and you walking through the house, pounding on the table, pounding on doors. And I was standing staring at my TV. And I, like, as soon as that ball went in the air and I saw Gabe open, my jaw dropped. My eyes got huge because I was like, we finally won.
Yeah.
And then the ball went right. And I was like, no. That was to me probably the biggest heartbreaker, because I knew that like we weren't going to win after that, because the Eagles were going to go down and score a touchdown. We had to win, first possession of overtime. Mm-hmm. Had to.
That was huge for the momentum.
Again, what bugs me is going for the first down only on that 3rd and 7 instead of, you know, only trying to get part of it and then using all 4 downs. If you don't like the look, then call timeout, kick the field goal.
Yeah. But, oh well, you live and you learn, I guess.
So, McDermott hasn't learned nothing.
Well,
what?
He might have. I don't know. We're just going to wait and see, right? I mean, getting over that hump is just, I don't know. Like, I went through some stats earlier watching, you know, looking at his record and stuff since he, you know, took over coaching for the Bills. And it does seem to me still like he is on an incline, and we'll get more into it later on. But it's like it's not just like a ramp up to the promised land like we're thinking of. You know, there's a lot of zigzags, but I still feel like, you know, we're on the upswing. And I kind of threw this out on Twitter later, and like I or earlier in this week, and like I said, we'll get into it later. But I'm thinking, this is just an off year for us, and I hope they could prove me wrong. Please prove me wrong. But I'm finding comfort in the fact that I think this is just an off year. And I don't know.
Well, and everything that you've been telling me about what we're going to be talking about, which we should just do soon.
Yeah, we'll get into it here in a minute.
You're starting to kind of convince me. But at the same time, the quote from our friend and fellow podcaster Jay Spence the King, I am starting to more believe that he truly is our Steve Kerr. Our Mark Jackson, and we just need our Steve Kerr. Right. You don't necessarily need to blow up the roster. You don't need to start trading away your stars, you know, like just because you couldn't get to that final one. You start by getting rid of the head coach. And if that doesn't work and you're on now your third head coach, that's when you're like, all right, blow it up and truly start with foundational pieces. You know, Josh, Groot, Oliver, Bernard, Milano, you know, the Benford, those guys, you know, that's who you keep around, and you do, you truly blow it up. You go for age, and just start going, like, getting the draft picks.
Yeah. But now, you know, what you're saying also makes me think about the fact that, you know, our DC is gone, and just how Sean has more on his plate. So I don't know. I take some of that into effect too.
See,
but I am coming around. Like I said, I'm still not one of these fire Sean McDermott guys, but I am, you know, getting closer to the fence, I guess, than I was before.
I think you and I are kind of on the same page and in the same area with that. I'm not totally, you know, get rid of him. I'm definitely not get rid of him in the middle of the season.
No way.
But I'm starting to truly be like, I like he's lost my trust.
Yeah.
At this point, you know, he hasn't lost like my whole commitment, but like he has lost my trust and my faith that he's going to make the right calls and make the right decisions.
Yeah.
Right now, he's got to earn that back.
True. Let me just take a note real quick. We don't have as many people to talk, so I'm going to have to do some stuff on the fly here.
So, well, while we're here, we might as well just bump into it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we're talking the game. We're talking about Sean. We know about the penalties. We know about the drop balls, the miscommunications, all that. But yeah, Sean in the spotlight this week for Bills Mafia, and not in a good way. So, I mean, yeah.
Did you ever think this day would come? Like, since, you know, since this team has started to get good again and be consistent again, did you think that there would be a day when we're like, we need to get rid of our head coach? Because I have been like one of the biggest Sean McDermott, like, believers. And I'm like, I've just given everything to him because he's done everything. He's brought my Bills team from the bottom of the NFL to a perennial Super Bowl contender every year, the last 4 years.
Yeah.
You know, and I, like, that's what gets me is like when you break it down like that, and now he has one bad season, like truly bad season.
Yeah.
And now we get rid of him over just one. I mean, that's kind of what bad teams do, i.e. the Panthers, you know, getting rid of Frank Reich, not even 1 year into having Bryce Young, a rookie quarterback, their best receiver is 38 years old or however old Adam Thielen is, you know, like that. They didn't give him a fair shake. Like, McDermott has been given a fair shake. Now, I understand he hasn't, we haven't made it to the Super Bowl yet, but he's put us in the position too, but he's also lost us those games.
Yeah.
13 seconds, Broncos game, this game. I mean, like it's one of those to where like, can he truly get it done under pressure? Cause our team can. Josh has shown that he can do that. No problem, but it's can but it was McDermott like, return the favor.
Right. And now I know like the 20 seconds thing is my hot key this week, but it really was a combination of things. So I can't feel like you put all the pressure on McDermott. We were just talking about the Gabe Davis, you know, miscommunication, you know, drop ball by Cook.
Yes. Not many people have been talking about that as much as they should, including myself, because I am a James Cook lover. That broke my heart.
I don't know. He threw that ball, and before it got to James Cook's hands, I left my feet, and I think I was at the height of my jump when he missed it, and I hit the ground like, oh, that was like,
oh my god,
premature celebration.
I was oh my god, it killed me so much.
Yeah,
it was
that was tough.
It would have been such a great play, you know, just a confidence booster for James Cook. You know, we've all seen it. He's been thrown in the doghouse a couple of times by McDermott, you know, after having one fumble and then one drop. Like it's one of those things. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. It would have done so much for him mentally, I believe.
Yeah. So it is a team game. You know, it's not just one person's fault. So we got to remember that. One thing that did stick out to me. I don't know if it was a coaching thing or not, but I don't think Diggs got targeted to like Diggs targeted. Yeah. He once and got a catch the last play of the first quarter. I mean, I'd like to think we'd get him involved before that.
I mean, we also got to remember. I mean, the Eagles have Darius Slay, Kevin Byard, and James Bradberry out of corner. You know, those are not slouches, especially Slay. I mean, and I saw him matching up against Diggs a lot. So, but I mean, he still turned out nice. I mean, he was 5 yards short of giving me $1,300.
But I know he feels bad for you, though. He does say sorry when he falls short on the parlay.
Hey, Steph, my Cash App is money sign Casey Cita if you feel that bad.
That's funny. Going all out for it, huh? Not even just going to
eat what he wants. I'll thumb wrestle him for it. I don't know.
There you go. Oh, geez. Yeah, here's Triggs. If Allen has another great game against the Chiefs and the defense screws it up again, well, I don't know how we keep defending McDermott. True. Yeah, I mean,
it depends.
I kind of write this off this year, like I said, with the coaching mishaps, as staffing, you know. I do think McDermott has at least one. You have to give him next year. You have to give him all of next season.
Which is
exactly unless what... if we're at this point next year, then I'm really, really, starting to lean over that way.
I mean,
but I Roy, think he had one more good year to prove it.
Roy agrees. I mean, he believes there's no way that McDermott isn't our head coach in 2024. And I agree. I think this is the probation year. You know, this has turned into, all right, you have one more year. And if it's anything like this, then you're gone. I truly, and personally, after the season ends and we're all done being all grouchy and mad and upset in the moment, I think we'll, like a lot of people realize, like, all right, forget about last season, just hit the reset button and just, try again. And if it doesn't work, then, kick them out. And I am perfectly fine with that. But again, I don't think that, going to the playoffs, five out of 6 years or whatever he's done and winning the division three times and coming in, we're currently in second place now and been second again.
Yeah.
I don't think that this one 500 season is warranting an immediate firing.
No, especially with all the crap injuries and I don't know. I could throw the ref thing out there again, but
let me ask you this. And everybody, please comment your answers because I would like to see all the different names. Who, if he did get fired, is there somebody that you, just off the top of your head, that you would like to be brought in?
I can't think of anybody that I would like to be brought in. I can't, because I still think McDermott's our best shot, and we owe it to him. We have to give him that. We'd be shooting ourselves in the foot if we fired him now or at the end of this season. We really would. I mean, talk about starting over. I mean, we do have the talent, but I mean, we have whatever we have going on, we just don't want to restart. I think it would be detrimental. I mean, I don't know. Sacrifice a year or two. It took McDermott. McDermott got here, and then a year. Josh got here a year later, and it took a year to get things going. So I don't know. You'd be sacrificing a few seasons. Probably you're playing the waiting game again, and you're going through this all again.
But are you? But are you? Maybe. I mean, spin. I'm not going to read what Triggs' comment was, but I agree with him. Because never Nathaniel Hackett. Ashley, I knew this is why we were friends when you came out to Buffalo with Papa Ron. Because my vote would be for Kellen Moore.
Yeah.
I think he would. I was surprised he didn't get a head coaching job this year. Maybe he did. And he was offered a job but didn't like the situation that he was offered. Mm-hmm. Just kind of was testing the waters a little bit. And that's why he just moved from the Cowboys over to the Chargers. But we've seen, I mean, if you want to see somebody get their number one wide receiver involved, look at what Justin Herbert does with Keenan Allen. 13 yeah. receptions, 11 receptions, 9 receptions. I mean, he's the receptions leader in the NFL this year. He's top, yeah. I think, 5 in yards as well. I mean, I know Diggs is both of those currently is 2, but this would be your head coach. You know, he's young. I mean, it's kind of like the Sean McVay thing. He's a young, shiny offensive mind. He's proven that he can – anywhere he's gone, he's had success. And I think he'd be very good.
Yeah. I mean, hard to argue that point. I had Keenan Allen on one of my fantasy teams. It is beautiful. I mean, who's their other receivers now?
Mike Williams. They have Quentin yeah. Johnston, but Quentin Johnston, the rookie wide receiver, it seems to be a little like he's struggling. He's struggling to acclimate coming from TCU to the NFL. It's a little bit of a jump from the Big 12 up to the NFL. The defenses are a little bit better.
Yeah.
What about Joe Brady for head coach? I mean, that's something we can talk about. I don't think we have hired. I'm sorry. I was reading comments. I don't think we've talked about that at all. I mean, what would your opinion be on just bringing in Joe Brady? I mean, if this is how the offense has reacted to him, how would the defense react to him? And we see him. I mean, he seems like a dog of a person.
Yeah.
You know, so you got to wonder.
Yeah. I mean, I know he's new in his role now. I mean, I don't know how much experience you really need before you become a head coach.
If you can do it, you can do it. If you can't,
if you're cleaning house. And I do believe the switch from Ken Dorsey to Joe Brady, I think everyone agrees there was some sort of change there in a positive way. I mean, I don't see why not run with it. I mean, young coaches come in and they might not have a lot of experience, but they have a fresh mind that hasn't been clouded up with years of doing this. So may come in with some new ideas. You know, you're not overthinking things as much, and you're kind of just – you know, you're out there to prove something as a young coach. Maybe, but you know what I was saying too about McDermott, we got at least another he's got to be here next year. So that would just give Joe Brady even more experience by that time. Why wouldn't we consider it?
He'd be my first interview.
Yeah.
He would have to be. Right. You get rid of McDermott. If you're not, you know, if you're not cleaning house like coaching wise.
Right.
There's no reason he wouldn't be the first interview, you know, and then maybe like we were talking pre-show, Al Holcomb, you know, he would be an interview. Like again, going back to Kellen Moore. But other than that, there's just not many people. Oh
yeah.
One more would be, oh my gosh, now I'm losing it. The Chiefs' old offensive coordinator, current offensive coordinator for the Commanders.
Don't ask me.
Oh, come on. Somebody comment the name. I can't think of it, and it's bothering me.
That's funny.
But anyway, Roy mentioned – no. That's not who I'm thinking of.
I'm just reading
down. Yes, Eric Bieniemy.
Bieniemy.
Thank you. Thank you, Papa Ron. That's another person.
A few people said it.
That's another person who I would love to get an interview from.
Yeah.
And just because I think he would take it in a heartbeat. Somebody that's worked with, you know, like the number one quarterback in the league, with somebody with a great weapon, who's had two great weapons. We've seen what he can do with an offense. No, he wasn't, you know, we understand that it was like Andy Reid's offense. He still had say in it. And now you see when he comes over to the Commanders, he's turned Sam Howell in his first season as an NFL starter into the passing leader in the NFL. I mean, I understand, you know, I mean, it's not in a bunch of garbage time either. I mean, they're like, he's going out, he's making plays in the first quarter. And I know this because my wife's a Washington fan, so I have to watch the games. So, like, it's impressive what he's done there. I mean, he gets 3 running backs involved all game. It's impressive. You know, he gets Sam Howell to spread the wealth. I would like to see him get a opportunity if McDermott's gone after 2024.
Right. So one more thing before I think we move on. I think we spent enough time on that. And we'll probably rehash a little bit too, but what do we think about McDermott stays head coach and then we get the DC help from Al Holcomb and then move someone else in for a defensive assistant? I do like the idea of people that are already in the system, things that are working well together and building off of that. McDermott, could he just use the help at DC and then be able to focus more? Right.
But if that was the case, why wouldn't you have just made that transition already?
Right.
Clearly, I think he doesn't think that's the issue.
Right.
You know, McDermott. I mean, that, yeah.
Right.
That might come down to a Brandon Bean and Terry Pakula coming to McDermott being like, you may not think it's an issue, but we do. So we are going to hire a defensive coordinator for you.
Right.
Obviously, you're going to be a part of the, you know, part of the search, part of like deciding who it's going to be. But we want that, like, we want you to be able to focus on the entire team, not just, you know, 60% of the defense and then 40% the entire team, the rest of the team.
Right.
So I think if the season gets worse, they should definitely do that.
Yeah.
You gotta dot all your I's and cross all your T's. You know, you gotta rule out any excuse and, you know, make sure that you know 100% this is the reason and this is why we're moving on from them.
Yeah.
There can't be any question marks left. You can't, like, there's gotta be 100% reasoning behind it.
Mm-hmm. So I think we like I said, we spent enough time on that, and this is kind of a little extension of that. I was going to get us some tweet talk today because, well, I was a tweeting maniac. I mean, a lot of people tweet a lot. I was just tweeting more than usual this week. So I want to throw a little tweet talk into here this week. You know, we like to connect with the fans and this and that. Let me get rid of that ticker out of the way there. So, yeah, here's my original tweet. I don't know if it was the next day. It was a few days ago now. But obviously, Sean said he wanted to end the game early. We're talking about the knee with the 20 seconds left. He wanted to end the game a few plays earlier. It just doesn't make sense. They had to make a few more plays too. So it's like you're double talking. That's what drives me absolutely insane. I mean, it's just hard to, I just don't understand it. And it makes me think that he's just up there and he's just blurting out answers and which, I mean,
and the post game presser, you know, when you lose like that,
he's got other stuff on his mind, right?
You are just kind of like just feeding them whatever, you know, not truly thinking too extensively about what your answer is going to be, because it's going to be short, quick, you know. Yeah. It's not going to be this full blown explanation as to why I did this, why I did that. You're just going to give a quick reason, boom, move on. You know, because they're trying to get out of there. They don't want to be there at all. So, like, they're not going to give you anything substantial except for people reading stuff and taking it the wrong way, you know, because there is only just like quick tidbit answers.
Yeah. So that's what they're saying. I can't. Baseball Tony, it's hard to read. McDermott's a clownfish. People really giving him the heat this week. Jack here says, does the press reporters hammer McDermott with his inconsistent statements or give him a pass? I mean, they don't hammer. I mean, he's just going to say, I don't know. He's just going to shrug it off. That's just
again,
how he is.
Yeah. Again, yeah. He's not going to say much. He's not going to, I mean, he can get up and walk away if he feels like it, right. Or he can pull a Marshawn Lynch. So yeah. You got to pick your battles here, people.
Yeah, true that. So, I'm not as big a tweeter as Papa Ron, so he gets a little more attention than I do. So here's Papa Ron's tweet. Should he stay or should he go or should he stay? We'll never know the answer until it happens. Yeah, I hope whatever happens is the right answer. I just want to win. Yeah, true that, Papa Ron. And you can find Papa Ron put out an article too. I believe it was shared on our page. You're gonna have to help me out here. What site it's on? Buffalo Fan Lowdown. Fan-sided Buffalo Lowdown. Six pros and cons of McDermott staying or going. So if you guys want to check that out on the MafiaCast Facebook page, it's been posted on Papa Ron's Twitter at Ronnie Eastham. So if you want to go check that out, read up on that, you'll get a little more info where Ronnie stands on this. So PJ comments, he says, I think that you're looking at the whole picture. Thank you for making some sense. Many realistic visions. I don't think I want to read that one. This slide was just for the main tweet. Here's what we're looking for. The Bills Mafia butcher. McDermott is becoming Tony Dungy in Tampa. Build a team into a contender, but just don't have what it takes to win it all here. He'll be unemployed less than a week, but I do believe that it is time to pair Josh Allen with a more modern offensive-minded guy.
Again, Mike, you and I had this conversation yesterday, not about this, but I mean, is the grass greener? You know, it's a question that we're always going to have, like, that's eventually going to have to be answered, you know, and it's a scary sight. People don't like change. People don't like new, you know, it's especially when we've been as good as we are for as long as it's been. So does it make us worse? I don't know. It doesn't make us, like, for every Brandon Staley, there's a Nick Sirianni, you know, like they're like, it's just one of those things. Sometimes you just got to bite the bullet.
Yeah. And then there's Steve, Bills Mafia MMA, is it? He says, and we went back, I think we went back and forth a couple times. He has to go. He quit on his team, his all-pro quarterback, 20 seconds, one timeout, didn't even give him a chance. Andy Reid had 13 seconds, blah, blah, blah. You guys know the story. I mean, they're just saying McDermott's doesn't have the confidence, is what he's saying.
The trust. I mean, I mean, they're saying he just doesn't trust Josh. And again, does that truly come back to being a defensive minded coach and believing that your defense is going to win you the game after your quarterback, you know, after all he's done, you know, should it shouldn't always have to fall on him.
Yeah.
But you have Josh Allen. I want it to fall on him.
Yeah. Right.
I want it to.
If Josh Allen fails, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, and we've seen he's given
because there's no denying
he's given Sean McDermott the lead 6 times in under 2 minutes left, and he's 0-6.
Yeah,
what do you want him to do?
Right,
that's like, and that's going at everybody that is hating on Josh, saying he's not clutch. By the way, what more do you want that guy to do? He's put his team in every position to win, walked off the field a winner 6 times, and has lost those games. That's not on him.
He has been successful, many clutch moments. Just the defense couldn't hold up their end, or it was a game time management thing, or we just gave him too much time. I mean, you're saying we know how fast you could score. It's practically how fast you could run the field.
Yeah.
So, but if Josh fails and it's all on him, we're not all saying fire Josh, get rid of him, we need a new quarterback. Because then you're like, I mean, unless you're trading, I mean, who?
What? No, the question is, what are we getting in return? Yeah. The key to what city and like the mayor's house in that city, plus every draft pick until Josh Allen dies. Like, that's basically what the Bills are going to have to be given in order to trade him. He's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
Until he's 40 and, you know, he's just whiny like Aaron Rodgers. And if that happens, then see you. But
here's Triggs. According to Tim Graham, there's zero chance of McDermott getting fired.
Again, I think Mike and I are on that same boat. I don't think he's gone this year. I think if it next year resembles anything like this year, then he'll be gone.
Yeah. Yeah. And Roy, rightfully so. There is plenty of blame to go around. I know my graphics kind of covering the chat right now. But yeah, correct. So here's the next group of tweets out of Papa Ron's post. Chris Martin, I just wish when the second half comes, we don't switch to that soft defense that teams just run over us on, putting us in positions like yesterday. I mean, this was days back. We just adjust and we back off. I don't know. Yeah, that whole second half. I mean, there's no denying. I don't know. Philly made some good adjustments, and they started really playing.
And it doesn't help with the penalties that we were shooting ourselves in the foot with.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it just if one thing just goes our way, we win that game. One of the kicks, one of the catches, one of the penalties, you know, one of this, one of that, we win the game, period, point blank. Mm-hmm. You know, like it's so much stuff. And I think that's where it ultimately does wind up falling on the head coach, is to where when you can't just point to one thing, you got to cut the head out the snake.
Right. That really does make you wonder. Here is KT. McDermott was great coaching out of the drought. Now he's in over his head. We need an aggressive, play-to-win coach with playoff experience and a record of winning tight games and overtime.
Real quick, where do you expect to get that coach that's not already hired?
Andy Reid is not coming to Buffalo.
Thank you, Michael. Like, Marv Levy ain't coming back. Like, that's not happening. Like, I don't know what more, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
You just explained Sean McDermott. Yeah. How about that, KT?
Here's the JC comment on the post. Stay but find a DC. It's hard to lose four all-pro caliber players on defense and stay competitive, but we have. It does show something to me. McDermott's a good leader. He built a good culture here, and he's done enough here to not be fired after a season like this. They need to find a bit of luck. Yes. Every team does.
I think that tweet explains exactly how me and you feel about the entire situation surrounding McDermott.
Yeah.
Personally, I know it like that. That's exactly how I feel.
Hmm. I mean, yeah. I mean, it has really been a great thing. I mean, look at where we were before.
EJ Manuel was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Even Tyrod, he was even more fun.
Well, yeah, because he was actually kind of good.
Kyle Orton was like really fun for a second.
Uncle Orton might be my favorite all-time Bills quarterback. And Mike, now you got me thinking, that's the next jersey I'm going to have Lauren get me.
Nice.
Orton jersey.
That's funny, man. I'll hit it when I see it.
We got to hit up our boy John from Game On Sports and see if he's got any signed jerseys.
Hey, I'm glad you brought up John, because I just want to throw this out there that John's got all sorts of cool Christmas stuff for this season, like Christmas Story, signed Red Ryder BB guns.
Yes.
Photos from the movie Christmas Story, of course, and all the other sports memorabilia. So, locations, obviously, Hamburg and Greece, we've said before. So he's always bringing in different stuff. It's not limited to just sports stuff. Plenty of Christmas stuff there. And I was thinking I want to go drop off some cookies that Sarah made. She has some jersey cutouts. We were thinking of going, heading over to the store and seeing if they want to try them out, how they like them.
There you go. Heck yeah. Like, absolutely.
So I'm glad you mentioned John, because I did want to get that little bit in there.
We'll have to we're going to get him back on here soon.
Yeah. So here's a stat. I don't know if this was a link posted, because it's kind of cut off in the comments, but four of the 20 coaches hired to lead the Bills lasted more than three seasons. A dozen Bills coaches lasted 2 years or fewer. Buffalo's best coach, Levy, led the Bills for 12 years, bringing his team to four straight Super Bowls.
So, but that also is speaking to the poor GMs that we had during the drought, all the coaches we had in the drought, and the poor ownership that unfortunately was the result in the drought. You know, that like that. I mean, it all comes, you know, crap rolls downhill, and like that's what mm-hmm. the drought was. And like, it was just one of those things to where nothing we did was right. Nothing. Didn't matter who, what, where, when, how. The only thing we did right was not sell the Bills to Bon Jovi and move them to Toronto. Like,
and we're glad we did.
Who knows? Maybe if we did, we'd have a Super Bowl, but we'll never know.
A couple more comments from the tweet talk before we move on. Christopher, I'm not ready to see McDermott fired just yet. Yeah, we know. And Rob the D, he will stay for the remainder of the season because they still have a shot. Yeah, everyone's forgetting. We really do still have a shot here. Even though we're at 6-6, we really still have a shot. But he says we still have a shot at the playoffs, but if they fail to get there, the ownership will and should have serious look or yeah, the ownership will and should have a serious look at his position on coaching the team. I believe it says leading the team. So yeah, I mean, I'm saying we got one more year to Rob at least. So that will do it for the tweet talk for today. And while we're switching over to the next topic, I just want to say, everyone, if you're just tuning in, you're watching the Mafia Cast, Buffalo Rumblings Network, live and recorded. You can find us anywhere, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, or anywhere else you find your podcast. So like, subscribe, tell your friends, all that kind of fun stuff. And just in a second here, I'm going to bring up this graphic that I put together. Oh yeah, we made a graphic for the graphic.
Mike, super smart stat.
Super smart. Casey likes to talk me up. I'm still a little new at this, but I do pick up on some stuff here and there. So we kind of talked about this earlier. And I was looking into this. I don't know if we mentioned it on previous shows, but just something I've been looking at after this past week. So here are some stats. Here ever since Sean McDermott took over coaching for the Bills in year 17. So the reason I put this together is to show my theory here at what's keeping me comfortable, not freaking out, and still hopeful, even though I'm almost ready to write this season off. Please prove me wrong, guys, please. So McDermott took over in 2017, pre Josh Allen. And we went 9-7, second in the division, lost in the wild card. Not bad to come in and just make that happen.
Thank you, Andy Dalton.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Thank you, Andy Dalton. He did have a lot to do with it.
Can we also, real quick, 2017 was the year of Case Keenum, Nick Foles, Blake Bortles, and Tom Brady in the conference championship games that year.
Yeah.
That's insane. And let's take a wild guess as to which one of those quarterbacks won the Super Bowl. And it's not the one you're thinking of.
Yeah. So yeah, lost the wild card in his first year here, even though we were minus 57 points on our opponents. Kind of crazy, right?
That's what happens when you have Tyrod.
Yeah. 2018. Now this is rough. This is Josh Allen's first year. I mean, Tyrod had experience in the league, so it's understandable.
2018 was Nathan Peterman year.
Yes. Yeah.
That explains it. That explains a lot. I mean, he gave up about 105 points in that Chargers game himself just on pick sixes.
Yeah. So, Ray, it was? I gotta rehash it now. Was that
Josh Allen, 2018, was Josh Allen's rookie year.
The Nate Peterman year was still his first year.
Yes.
Right? I know. It's like, I don't know. It all kind of happened at once.
Because after that Chargers game, they were like, Josh, go. Just go. And that was
set the record for picks or something?
Something like that, yeah. And the next game is when Josh Allen hurdled Anthony Barr, and the rest is history.
Oh, man. So, yeah, 2018, the Peterman year, as Casey likes to call it. I'll agree with that. 6-10, third in the division. Minus 105 points to our opponents. That's bad. That's really bad. 6-10. We all want to fire McDermott then? Did we want to fire him? I mean, after 2017, going to the playoffs. I don't think we wanted to fire McDermott in 2018. It was more like, our quarterback situation.
Well, we didn't exactly.
We didn't know what Josh was going to do.
Exactly.
Yeah. So that's not on him. We had a 6-10 season, and we that's, went like
that was McDermott. Really his like first. I mean, that was the first year that McDermott got his team. That was his team. Like, I understand he had McDermott drafted in 2017. That wasn't Brandon Bean. Bean came in after that draft. So 2018 is when McDermott's team was really built for him. You know, we got Josh, we got Tremaine, you know, we finally got pieces, you know, we got wide receivers, Cole Beasley, John Brown, those guys.
Right.
You know, and then 2019 continue, Mike.
Yeah. Well, so here's Roy. I just want to, he's throwing out there. 2018 was also the salary dump year.
Yep.
So I just want to throw out that. And I also want to put up Angel here. Angel is a new subscriber. We work together, same place. He's an excellent mechanic, so I appreciate him watching the show and tuning in. But yeah, if our defense wasn't so tired, we probably would win.
Yep.
Brings me back to the whole clock management thing. You know, if we could hold the ball a little longer, try to keep our defense off the field, even though we want to go down and score, we still do need to manage the game a little better. Basically run the timeout. Score as the time runs out.
We can't let Sean McDermott coach in overtime. Period. No. Point blank. Gotta win it. Coach. Just here we go.
Player coach.
I was gonna say we're gonna have our Bill Russell of the NFL here.
Yeah.
But if it turns into 11 rings, I'm for it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, anyways, I'm 2017, McDermott's first year, 2018, Josh's first year, 6-10. I give them both a year to settle in, and you guys will see what I'm getting at here in a minute. 2019, we flip the script. 6-10? No, we go 10-6, and we're right back where we were losing the wild card. I mean, that just proves McDermott did it with Tyrod Taylor. They did it with Josh Allen, his second year, his first full year, we could call it. And got to the wild card, and we were plus 55 on the points. We were outscoring our opponents, which, I mean, if you're going to the playoff, I can't believe we lost the wild card in 2017, minus 57 points. I would say both of their first years, they get a year to settle in, and then you'll see a pattern here if the pattern continues next year, because I'm writing the season off, I mean, I think it's a legitimate thing. So if you look at after 2019, we could call that our down year. 2020, 13-3. We lost
during COVID, during the entire BS of COVID, when if somebody sneezed, they missed a month.
Yeah. So that's the Kansas City. That's a 13 seconds season.
Nope. That's not 13 seconds.
That's not
lost conference. No, that's just when we lost. That's when we lost the conference. 2021 was it?
Oh no, divisional. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Never mind. 13-3, first in the division, and lost the conference. I mean, that's our up year. That's when we were like, we are the best. We are among the best teams, and we are serious. We're a serious competitor. And then, you know, then it's just been every other year. And that's why if anyone's seen my tweets, I've been saying Bills are getting 13 wins next season, because since 2019, it's been 10 wins, 13 wins, 11 wins, 13 wins. Now, we're at 6 right now, but next year, I'm just thinking we're going to get 13 wins again.
What's your guess?
13 wins.
For this year.
For this year?
This year, what do you think we finish at?
Oh, I don't know. That's tough, because
come on, off the whim. Come on, what do you think? We got Eagles. I mean, we don't have the Eagles. We have Dallas, Chargers, Patriots. Dallas, Chargers, Patriots, Chiefs, Dolphins. We have 5 games left.
There is a chance we play the Eagles, and for that to happen,
we have to win.
We gotta win out, or at least 4 of them, and have some special stuff happen.
I think we finish 9-8. I think we finish the season 9-8.
And win three of those games?
I think we
win. I'm just going to agree with you. Because like I said, I'm writing this year off.
I think we beat Dolphins, Patriots, Chiefs.
Yeah.
I think we lose.
Yeah.
Or no, I think we beat Dolphins, Patriots, Chargers. Excuse me.
Dolphins, Patriots, Chargers. Those are the winnable games. And we lose against Kansas City and Dallas.
Those are who I genuinely think we're probably going to beat. I'll still choose the Bills next week against Kansas City.
Right.
I can easily convince myself against that about that.
Yeah. So, I'm with agreement there. I wouldn't be surprised if we just missed, and I'm ready to. I'll just say, 9 wins. Prove us wrong, please.
Please, dear Lord, please. Prove us wrong.
But I'm writing them off this year. I really am. Next year is a big year for us, and that is why the main reason why I'm saying McDermott will be here all of next year, and he has all of next year to change everyone's minds and to prove that he could still be the guy. I mean, we're right there. We're so close. These games are coming down to one play, one call, one miscommunication, whatever. One drop.
I can go through it all. I mean,
it's like one of everything there is.
Pass interference against the Broncos. 12 men on the field. Kneeing it on like with 20 seconds left. The most amazing catch that's probably happened in the NFL this year, the Garrett Wilson catch in the first game of the season.
Oh man.
The list goes on and on. There's almost one, the Cortland Sutton catch against us in Denver. I mean, it took two kicks from the same spot at the end of the game, and one of the most amazing passes and catches to beat us.
He's practically horizontal, his tiptoes in the
inbound. That's my whole point to this, to where the most amazing, extravagant things have happened this season against us. We have had our hearts broken again and again and again and again. And we're losing by like this much every single time. We're in every single game. Like it's hard.
Yeah.
Mike, I'll answer this real quick. Carl, we're not going to talk about Von quite yet. We're going to wait for more information to come out. We are just as anxious as everybody else about the situation.
Yeah.
Obviously, we hope she's okay. We hope everything is okay with the baby and nothing's wrong, with her. But as far as, Von, but what's going on with Von, we're just not going to touch on it right now until more facts come out.
Yeah. It's kind of a little bit of a touchy subject right now, I'd say.
It's the same thing.
And we don't know much about it. So
we did the same thing with Matt Araiza. Everything that went on with him, and then he was proven innocent. I'm not saying Von didn't do it. I'm not. But, we don't talk. We're not going to get into any of this until more information comes out.
Right. We'll just leave it at that. Someone did ask, was it Von's mistress? I believe it's his longtime girlfriend. They've been on and off. They have two kids together, I think. Like Casey said, we'll just leave it at that. Carl, we appreciate your super chat. Again, everyone's super chats are always open, so we appreciate that. But yeah, we don't really want to touch on that subject right now. So yeah, we are getting kind of late on time here. We only got a couple of minutes left. I don't know, what do we got left on the dock here? I mean, here we are. We're looking outside.
What's next, Mike? What's next, buddy? I mean,
next year, man.
It's
next year.
No, what's next is me and you are going to the Bills game in December.
Yes, that is our next public appearance, I guess you would say.
Yeah, we're going to the Cowboys game December 17th. It's going to be a hell of a game. I'm excited to go watch it. I'm excited to hang out with you. We got another buddy coming. Going to go to Bar Bill that weekend. We're going to make a whole thing of it. It's going to be a lot of fun. So anybody wants to hang out, you know, meet up, tailgate. Mike and I like Bush. You know, we like Budweiser and
Labatt's.
Mike likes shots and Labatt's. You know, like, let's hang out. Let's meet up. Let's do whatever you want. We can.
Right. We'll be doing our thing, hanging around the block, Mafia House,
Allen Street,
Hammer Lot. We'll make the rounds, hanging, you know, meeting up with the rest of the Buffalo Rumblings crew, some of them guys, girls, and I'll probably have to get some fireball shots from Lisa again because that's always a good time.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, always a good time. Super excited to get back to another game this year. But yeah, I mean, I guess that's what we're looking forward to. I know it's been rough. Here's the AFC East stats. I don't know how we're still in second, but we're doing it.
Because we have the Jets and the Patriots behind us. This must be the way the Patriots felt for the first 20 years of my life, basically.
Yeah.
They were like, oh, how are we in first? You know, we're, you know, 9-5. Yeah. Oh, because every other team in our division is 0-12, you know, whatever. Yeah. Like, it's AFC.
I hope the wheels fall off in Miami.
Oh, it's gonna. You know it's gonna.
I hope so.
Tyreek Hill, I mean, he keeps putting his hands on people. It's I don't know.
I don't know. Why do we get all the bad luck?
Exactly. Why? It's not for good. It's time for some good luck.
Yeah. So anyways, we're about to get out of here. No score predictions this week. We're on bye. So don't forget, smash, hit the subscribe, find us anywhere, Buffalo Rumblings Podcast, Vidcast Network. Once again, we appreciate everyone, and we will see you next week, same time, same place, 7:00. Go Bills.
Go Bills. Tell your friends.